Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. Hello, good morning. If you are like me, you are getting excited for the fall months. If you're in the Northern Hemisphere, I am ready to be done with the heat. It's been a hot summer. It's expensive for us to run our air conditioner here. I've got solar, but we run all of our AC on electrical. And so I didn't want to have gas run to my home for a few different reasons. But my house is all electric, and despite the amount of solar that we have, it is still quite expensive. And so we've been trying as much as possible to open windows at night, get some air moving through, but it's meant some decently hot summer days inside our home. And it makes me appreciate deeply the fact that AC exists and that we have access to it. It is a luxury that I get to choose to turn it off, suffer through a little bit of heat when I know there are so many parts of the world that don't have it. And that's going to become more and more of a consequence as the temperatures continue to rise. And that's what today's episode is going to be about. A couple different articles here talking about that temperature rise, not necessarily in the long term, but what has been happening just in the last couple of years and what is expected in the next couple of years. So the first here is an article from The Guardian titled "Global Temperatures to Remain Above Average Despite Return of La Nina, Says UN." The subheading here says "Climate Phenomenon Cools Surface of Pacific, But Won't Stop Human-Induced Climate Change, Increasing Temperatures and Exacerbating Extreme Weather." So essentially, we've been in an El Nino over the last couple of years, and we've shifted this last year to an ENSO-neutral situation. In the past, when this has happened, essentially, we'll have an El Nino, and if we have an especially bad El Nino, the temperature will spike, right, significantly above the average. But then, after the El Nino, we hit a neutral or La Nina, and the temperature comes way down. That's what happened in the previous, well, pretty much every previous massive El Nino spike. You know, there was one in 98, which was a severe El Nino, and the temperatures didn't come back and supersede those temperatures for 10 years after that. Same thing in 2016. It took until 2023 for the temperature to match what 2016 had provided. Yet here we are we're just getting out of this El Nino, and going into ENSO and La Nina, essentially what they're saying is we're not going to see this severe decrease in temperature that we're used to. Yeah, we probably won't hit the same, temperatures that we hit in 2023 and 2024, but we are likely to, it's not going to take long before we hit those numbers again in off years, which is very concerning, right? It's a sort of a regime change, a step change in the temperature increase. It's the exponential curve, the hockey stick pattern. Now, there's several reasons for this, right? One is just obviously that we continue to emit CO2 at unsustainable rates. That's sort of the baseline consequence, or I should say mechanism behind the consequences that's increasing global temperatures. But on top of that, we have tipping points that are continually being crossed. Albedo is changing rapidly. As albedo changes, so too does the ability for the Earth to reflect away heat. And so it's absorbing more. Tipping points like the oceans not absorbing as much CO2 as they were previously. Tipping points like changes in ocean currents. So there's many, too many to be named now, but those are all slowly, or I should say, I guess rapidly in geological terms, causing a shift in these patterns. One place where this is being felt especially hard is in the UK. Summer of 2025 was the hottest on record in the UK, says the Met Office. Unprecedented average temperature made about 70 times more likely by human-induced climate change, says the agency. This is another Guardian article. This article is interesting because it talks about how, okay, over the last, you know, since 1880, the 10 hottest years on record, six of those have been since the year 2000, and four of them have been in just the last 7 years. This last one, 2025, so just this summer, was the hottest on record, significantly above the previous record, by about 0.3 degrees Celsius, which may not seem much, but typically when the records are beat, it's by like a hundredth of a degree. And this time it was 3/10 of a degree.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
I'm not sure how they're calculating the likelihood that this was, they say it was made more likely by climate change. I think that's obvious. Had they come up with a number like 70 times more likely, I'm not sure. That would require a little bit more digging, a little bit more research. They are saying that while the temperature in the UK this year didn't necessarily reach record highs on an individual day, they didn't break the record heat in a day, it broke the record heat over the course of the entire summer. It was just an overall much warmer summer consistently, whereas there have been bigger spikes in heat waves in the past. Which is interesting. That's more concerning to me that, you know, on a consistent basis, it's been warmer. They hit highs of 96 degrees Fahrenheit, which for the UK is very high, especially considering the small number of people that have any access to AC. Some of the biggest concerns with all of this is not just heat, but what this is doing to water availability in the UK. The UK has experienced droughts in the past, some of them quite severe. And in this case, there is a pretty significant concern that if water does not, if it's not replenished over the course of the winter above average, then there may be a serious drought next summer. The reservoirs currently are sitting about 67% of their capacity, which typically they're sitting at this point of the year, they're sitting well above 75-80%. The only years that have been lower were 2018 and 2022. And again, they say that it really all just depends on what happens over the winter. But the long-term trajectory is that the UK could face serious water shortages. I think they said it was something like 5 billion liters per day was the concern by 2050. If nothing changes. And of course, we don't trust dates here on this podcast, projected dates, simply because it's always changing and always faster than expected. How is it possible? You know, you think of a place like the UK, which is supposed to be known for heavy rainfall in the winters. And now, you know, we're talking about it becoming drought ridden. And there is so much that is interesting about the UK, especially in regards to and the possibility of an AMOC collapse or slowdown, and what's that going to mean for the future? Is it going to, you know, are we going to see a reversal in Western Europe specifically due to an AMOC slowdown? I don't know. It's going to be one of those things that's just going to be really, really interesting to watch and observe in the future. But going back to sort of the global situation right now, it says there is a 55% chance at our current state, that we'll be going into a La Nina between September and November, which coming out of an El Nino, that is a welcome stat. I know some, at least for us in the Northern Hemisphere here in the U.S., Some places are hit harder in La Niñas. It can cause droughts in some areas and flooding in others. But from an overall global temperature, you know, situation, that's better. And they expect that percentage likelihood to increase to about 60% going into October through December. But it's concerning when you step back and think about the fact that we're neutral right now, heading into a La Niña, and we're not expecting temperatures to drop by that much. They do expect that it will stay above average. That step down that a lot of people were expecting to happen is not coming. And so if temperatures stay relatively the same year over year, coming out of a 3-year in a row, or I guess a 2-year in a row El Nino, and that off of the back of a 3-year in a row La Nina, it really just spells disaster to me in the short-term future and severe consequences in the long term. This is something that we'll touch back on here, of course, over the next few months and in the coming years to see really how it compares. And then towards, you know, the end of this set of this decade, probably around 2027, 28, as we head back into a new El Nino period, what does that new step up look like? How, you know, what year do we hit our first 2-degree Celsius year? Curious your thoughts. Feel free to reach out and let me know. All right. Thanks a bunch. Talk to you again soon. Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.